from the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, the 16th of January, 2024. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started with
the Daily Denogram.
Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings or noggin nuggets, you get to make the call. It says here, every man reaps what he sows. Well, that's what we've been told when we were growing up, right? Of course, there is the possible exception of the amateur gardener.
I don't think that's funny.
Yeah, neither do I. I'm awful at that. All right, let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the broadcast.
Twisted history.
That's it right there.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happened on this day throughout history.
Oh, I know.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your twisted history.
Need to know?
You might be quizzed.
Well, okay. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1920. The League of Nations held its first council meeting in Paris. Yeah, the League of Nations was a predecessor to the United Nations. And it was every bit the failure the UN is. And it was on this day in 1963, Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev claimed to have a 100 megaton nuclear bomb. And while it was never confirmed, he demonstrated several times that he had at least a 100 megaton nuclear mouth.
Get off my phone, you jerk!
When it comes to making decisive moves, the people of Texas can do it. They don't always do it, but they can do it, and they did it this time to address the escalating border crisis, and it is escalating. State of Texas has exercised its emergency powers under the leadership of Governor Greg Abbott. Yeah, back on the 11th, the Texas Department of Public Safety, that was back on Thursday, took control of Shelby Park in Eagle Pass. It's a strategic location on the banks of the Rio Grande. The park encompasses about 47 acres, and it's right next to a critical section of the river, and it's now under the exclusive jurisdiction of state authorities. Now, this action was taken against the backdrop of increasing illegal crossings and federal government's perceived failure to secure the southern border. It's not that the federal government is failing. The federal government is just refusing. There is a difference. And according to a meme, Therefore I Am, Texas National Guard has deployed armed soldiers and vehicles to block federal government from accessing the river in Eagle Pass. Basically, Texas informed them that Border Patrol agents won't be allowed to enter Shelby Park in any operational capacity. Interesting. So, Eagle Pass Mayor Rolando Salinas publicly expressed his disapproval, saying that the city didn't consent to this measure. Well, too bad, pal. Despite local officials' reservations, the state maintains that the takeover is essentially for preventing illegal immigration and ensuring public safety. Kind of late now, though, don't you think? Sure, better late than never. But, I mean, this is something that should have happened 2 years ago. Now, the DPS, that's the Department of Public Safety, has been arresting individuals for criminal trespass for months, a policy that predates the new illegal entry law, SB 4. Now, the state's strategy includes arresting all who cross illegally into Texas. Pretty clear message that this sort of thing is not going to be tolerated. And you can see signs of it. I mean, the military is denying border control entry in Eagle Pass, the Border Patrol agents, because they're working for the feds. They're not working for the state. And the feds have made up their minds. They're just going to leave the borders wide open. And then while they're doing that, they're going to tell you that the border is secure. That's what Alejandro Mayorkas has been saying for 3 years. The border is secure. Although we can clearly see, we here on the border, of course, I don't live on the border. I'm hundreds and hundreds of miles from the border. But, you know, these are big stories to us Texans. to people up in Washington, D.C. They have no idea of what's going on the border. So this intervention by Texas comes amid reports of a staggering influx of over, this is the number, I don't know how official or how accurate it is, but over 11 million undocumented immigrants, in other words, illegal aliens. That's what I prefer to call them because that's what they are. So what we're talking about here is 11 million illegal aliens since January of 2021. And Eagle Pass has been identified as one of the most vulnerable points of entry, with numerous instances of women and children being rescued from the waters of the Rio Grande. I've seen some of the videos. Pretty gnarly stuff. Breaks your heart to see little kids drowning. Seeing adults drowning. I mean, it's all happening down there. Not to mention the flooding of this country with people who are culturally not entirely like us. But again, I've mentioned this before. The vast majority of these people coming into the country, the majority of them, are of Catholic backgrounds. They're Christians. That's okay. They'll assimilate. The ones that bother me, though, are the ones who get away. The ones who are trained to get away, trained by their home countries to get away. And I'm talking about people from the Middle East. I'm talking about soldier-aged male Chinese coming into the country in wholesale numbers. Now, in last November, the Tactical Marine Unit of the DPS was involved in several life-saving operations. And they provided personal flotation devices, you know, life vests, rescued individuals from drowning, even performed CPR on people in critical condition. And these harrowing scenes underscore the gravity of the situation at the border. Why doesn't Washington understand this? And again, through all of this, Alejandro Mayorkas is telling us the border is secure. So basically what we've done now is the state has seized the property of this park in Eagle Pass. And access to the seized property is restricted, with Border Patrol agents only allowed entry for medical emergencies or to get their equipment to retrieve it. Needless to say, this is an unprecedented move, but it signifies Texas' commitment to taking charge of its border security and enforcing the rule of law. You cannot fault Governor Abbott for that. And his emergency declaration really is a reflection of a broader sentiment among many Texans that the state must act when the federal response is deemed inadequate. And to use that word inadequate in reference to our current federal government, boy, is that an understatement. So as the situation develops, and it will, most of America's eyes are on Texas to watch as Texas stands firm in its resolve to protect its citizens and uphold its sovereignty. And that's what it's all about, my friend, sovereignty in the face of an ongoing crisis. Because if you are a sovereign state and your federal government is ignoring you, then it is all the more imperative for you to enforce your state's sovereignty. Something else the mainstream media isn't telling you, and that's how the campaign of Joe Biden is going. It's not going all that well, really. I mean, you keep hearing about the Republicans, you know, Nikki Haley this and Ron DeSantis that and Vivek Ramaswamy that and Joe Biden. Nothing. So he visited the Allentown area of Pennsylvania back on Saturday, the 13th. He was touring small businesses, and his visit was marred by some rather vocal opposition. Hecklers, we're talking here, my friend. Hecklers openly branding him a loser and Genocide Joe. So what they're mad about isn't just the economy. They're also angry with Joe about world events. And this is a reflection of a growing overall discontent. Let's call it what it really is: anger among certain segments of the American populace. John and Jane Q. Citizen know far more today about what's going on in the world than our parents knew. So naturally, his response was to look confused. He really did. I saw a very short clip, but the expression on his face was laughable. He stopped at a bike shop where he was introduced to the staff, and this momentary bewilderment seemed to underscore concerns about his age. He's 81, and his capacity to lead. Because, you know, critics use the opportunity to express their dissatisfaction with his administration's policies. Nobody's been mum about that. But people out there were yelling, "You're a loser, you're a loser." And despite the negative reception by some, I can't say that it was a majority, but, you know, here again, it's the vocal few who represent the majority, right? And Biden continued his tour. Well, he had to. What choice did he have? He couldn't just pack up and run. That would have looked even worse. But this emphasizes the importance of small business to the nation's economy. You know, he made his usual folksy, lighthearted remarks, introducing himself as an employee of the governor and senator. And that was his lame, failed attempt to connect with the local yokels and the business owners who were present. And the business owners, the few surviving business owners, were there in force. And no matter how you look at it, he couldn't escape the pressing issues. I mean, they're ever present. Reporters questioned him about Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's recent stealth hospitalization, which had never been disclosed promptly. Biden admitted that it was a lapse in judgment, but affirmed his confidence in Austin, of course, despite the Pentagon now probing the mishandling of the matter. So I think probably the most stunning thing, though, was the fact that Biden gave a speech at a black church in South Carolina where he was heckled and booed. So even when his team handpicks the venue, he still gets humiliated. And when he gets humiliated, it happens on national TV. Well, it happens on Fox. The mainstream media, though, I do believe, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am in this. I do believe the mainstream media is getting tired of Joe as well. I mean, you have this whole political party called the Democrat Party. You mean to tell me this is the best they can do? Well, it's not the best they can do. So why are they pushing Joe Biden? Because Biden is an Obama puppet. It's the only way the Democrat Party can continue the Obama administration. That's why this is happening. Now, when it comes to the protests, they didn't end outside the bike shop. His motorcade proceeded, and as it did, it was met by a group of pro-Palestine supporters demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. Their chants, "We will remember in November," served as a stark reminder of the upcoming elections and the impact of foreign policy decisions on domestic support. And face it, the foreign policy decisions made by this administration have been disastrous since day one. Now, this visit to Pennsylvania, intended to highlight the administration's support for small businesses, actually backfired. It became a platform for public dissent. And it showcased the polarized political climate and the challenges that Biden faces in uniting a divided nation, which I don't think he has any desire to divide the nation. If you're MAGA, you're the greatest threat to our democracy. If you're MAGA. If you're MAGA, you're a Nazi. If you're MAGA, you're a Hitler lover. Now, please explain to me how, with rhetoric like that, he's uniting the nation? He's the most divisive president I think we've ever had. And he's playing directly from the Barack Obama playbook. You know what I heard a journalist say the other day? It was on the mainstream media. Use the word divisive. Divisive. When did that crap start? It's not divisive, it's divisive. Like the word divide. Divide, divisive. What is the matter with these pinheads these days? I think they're trying to pass themselves off as intellectuals in front of the camera. So, as Biden left Pennsylvania without delivering prepared remarks, he went off to a retreat at Camp David. But the echoes of the day's confrontations were there. I mean, they lingered. They reverberated. The incident in Allentown is indicative of the hurdles that this administration must overcome to address the concerns of all Americans, including those who voice their opposition most loudly. And those who voice their opposition most loudly are not, I'm not talking about the far lefties, your Antifas, your Proud Boys on the other side of the spectrum. It's John and Jane Q. Citizen. Now they're making noise because they know they have to. It's election year. So in the coming months, and there are still several of them, as you know, it's going to be crucial for Biden to address these criticisms head on. And I don't think he will. I don't think he has the propensity for doing it. I don't think he's got the mental agility to do it. He's going to have to hire mouthpieces to do it for him. Because these voices of discontent are not just isolated outbursts. They represent a broader sentiment, a much broader sentiment, that from here on until next November are going to significantly influence the political landscape ahead of the next election cycle. So where does President Trump stand in all of this? Well, if we're to believe the polls that we're seeing, and here again, I try not to put too much faith in polls, but right now the man has the word commanding falls short of what it really is, but he does have a commanding lead over everybody else. And that's pretty fantastic. I really do believe Trump is going to win this one. I don't know if you are aware of this, but Dr. Ben Carson, this is a guy I have nothing but the utmost regard for. I personally like the guy. And you look at his resume and, oh my God, I mean, this man isn't just a genius. He's a savant and a God-fearing man, good Christian gentleman. And he's issued a stark warning to supporters of former President Trump because he's out there campaigning for Trump. Doing a good job of it, too, but the mainstream media is never going to show you that. Anyhow, he's issued this stark warning to supporters of Donald Trump. He says, be wary of dirty tricks. Now, the cautionary message comes from a place of experience. You know, he himself was the target of deceptive tactics during his own presidential bid 8 years ago. Can you believe it's been that long already? And Dr. Carson's admonition isn't without precedent. He recalled the 2016 incident where false claims circulated that he had withdrawn from the race just as the Iowa caucuses were about to commence. This was a misinformation campaign, and it was designed to mislead voters and manipulate the outcome, a tactic that he urges Trump's base to guard against as they prepare to show their support. It's pretty interesting. You know, when you talk about courage, you can't help but think about Donald Trump. I think of Dr. Carson, too. Can you imagine the courage it must have taken for Dr. Carson to go through school, go through medical school, all of the postgraduate work that you have to do to become a doctor, and then to specialize in neurosurgery the way he did, and then to rise to the very top of that profession. So when you talk about either Donald Trump, who took, what, $12 million of his father's money and turned it into billions and billions of dollars? You look at Trump and you can't see, you don't see the word failure there anywhere. Same thing with Dr. Carson. Two amazingly courageous men.
You know, when you talk about courage, I think about Donald Trump, because here's a man who was already as famous as anybody could be, extraordinarily rich, had really nothing more to gain, and yet he put all that on the line. And I remember about 30 years ago, he was doing an interview with Oprah, and she said, Donald, would you ever run for president? And he said, no, I wouldn't do that unless I thought the country was going off the cliff.
So the good doctor is out there campaigning for Donald Trump. I'd like to remind you, he's a former U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. But he's cautioning us to remain vigilant. He's also called for vigilance among the electorate, which would be you. You're part of the electorate if you go out and vote. In a video message, he implored Trump's followers to remain alert and discerning. Basically told him to trust only the information coming directly from Trump's campaign to avoid falling prey to rumors and disinformation. And make no mistake about it, the left will be out there. They're out there right now as I speak. Disinforming people. What people? You. So unity and trust within the movement. The movement, the mega movement, are paramount. Dr. Carson emphasized the importance of verifying any suspicious information with official sources, particularly as the caucuses approach. Well, we're into the caucuses right now. And with the strength of the movement, I say we're into the right now, where the campaigning is still going on. But, I mean, what is it, next week? Anyhow, I forgot the day that see, the caucuses are not that new a thing. I think the caucuses, they started doing the caucuses back in the early 90s. Was it 1993? Something like that. I need to read up on that more. But anyhow, Carson's plea is for supporters like you and me to stand together against any attempts to sow discord.
You know, a lot of people don't like him. They say the things that he says, and he's so coarse and he's mean, and I just couldn't possibly ever vote for someone like that. Well, there's actually a reason that God gave us eyes and ears and a brain. Because would you rather have somebody whose tongue is maybe a little wild, but has incredibly good policies?
Last year, Carson publicly endorsed Trump at a rally in Iowa, offering his most confident and full endorsement of the former president. He praised Trump's commitment to fundamental American values. Now, there is a term that I wish was more in mainstream use. Fundamental American values. You know, stuff like freedom of speech, religion, freedom of religion, and the right to bear arms. Very important. And he asserted that Trump is the leader capable of restoring greatness to the nation. I would also put in there fundamental American values, affordable energy. Because this country can't do anything without affordable energy. And this whole insane push on the part of the left to push us into a technology that doesn't exist yet. What was it yesterday? I talked about the huge lots scattered all over the country of unsold EVs. And yes, I think Elon Musk eventually is going to, he's going to lose his ass on Tesla. You just watch. Tesla is going to have to introduce a product that is not 100% EV. I'll bet you that Tesla will end up introducing, if he wants to stay in the car building business, he's going to have to introduce at least a hybrid or a super efficient form of internal combustion. EVs are not going to work, trust me. Talk to anybody who owns an EV. Have you read any of the driving reports in the better known magazines? Go to YouTube. There are all kinds of videos, nightmare videos of people trying to drive EVs over long distances. For instance, there was a good video I saw about a guy who took his family in a Ford F-150 EV. And they went from Los Angeles up to Northern California. Couldn't do the trip that way. They had to actually ditch the vehicle and rent an ICE vehicle. ICE is internal combustion engine, ICE. So, you know, but it's good to have somebody like Dr. Carson out there endorsing Trump and actively campaigning for him in his endorsement. Carson didn't shy away from highlighting the sacrifices Trump has made, and he's made many. You want to bet his financial fortune is far less than it was in 2020. He's also suffered relentless attacks from his adversaries. He portrayed Trump as a bulwark against the so-called administrative state and the swamp. suggesting that the persistent efforts to undermine him are a testament to the threat that he poses to entrenched interests. Again, I go back to that popular meme that I published a couple of times on my blogcast page on my website. It's a black and white photo of Trump looking right in your eyes. He's in a chair and he's leaning forward and he says, "They're not after me, they're after you. I'm just in their way." So Carson's rallying cry extends well beyond mere endorsement. I mean, he invokes the words of Benjamin Franklin, reminding Americans that the Republic's endurance depends on active preservation. Basically, what he's saying is, you know, by supporting Trump, the nation can uphold its founding principles and secure its future. Put in those simple terms, it makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? As the Iowa caucuses loom, Carson's message is pretty clear. Supporters must be astute and united in overcoming any underhanded tactics. Like what? Well, like the 2020 election. How about that for starters? And, of course, the eyes of the nation are on Iowa right now. The call for vigilance at a time like this isn't just a warning, but a battle cry for anyone who believes in the cause championed by Donald J. Trump. I mean, if you're truly an American, how can you be against Donald Trump, really? When you listen to the man speak and you take what he says for face value, I mean, I like Ron DeSantis. I don't care for Nikki Haley. I used to love the lady until I found out more about her. She's a Trojan horse. Love Vivek Ramaswamy. I hope this experience doesn't dampen his spirits. I hope he makes another run for the presidency at some point in the future. The man is truly brilliant. We have good people here. Ramaswamy, DeSantis, Trump. Get Trump back into the White House for 4 years, because only of all of the people that I've mentioned, I think only Donald Trump can deliver on what he's promising. You know, and the other side is using an attack mechanism against him, and that is, well, he promised the border wall, but we didn't get that. He didn't deliver on that. Well, he did, sort of. But he had some amazing opposition to go up against. And then came COVID. That was the game changer. It's why I keep saying Trump only had a 3-year presidency. Seriously. We didn't have a president at all during COVID. It was President Dr. Fauci. He was our president. So now, could Vivek Ramaswamy deliver on all the things that Donald Trump promised? Maybe. Maybe. Because when Ramaswamy gets up to speak, it's very hard for good conservatives to disagree with him. But we need Trump in the White House for 4 years. After that, we could have DeSantis or Ramaswamy. And I think either of those two would do a good job on staying the course that Donald Trump wrote for us. To the Comedy Corner with the oh-so-funny Jamie Lissow.
Even our parenting styles are different. Like, I'm more like, I worry a lot. Like, I'm an over-worrier. And she's more like, let the kid make a mistake, and then they'll never do it again. You know, that type of parenting. Do you support that type of parenting? Well, like, the other day, there was a boiling pot of water on the stove. And my 3-year-old toddler started walking towards the water, and I freaked out. I was like, dude, stop right there. Hot water. No. And my wife goes, hey, let him touch it. If he touches it, he'll never do it again. And I go, yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think you're probably right that if he touches boiling water, he'll never do it again. But I feel like with my method, he'll still have like a face with skin. Sure, you're right. I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm sure you're right. I think the nub will be a reminder to him to not touch boiling water. We're both right. I'm just throwing out other ideas, because I had trouble with girls, you know, and I had an intact face, and so just trying to help out our boy, you know. My wife's like pretty nuts though. She'd be like, let him drown. He'll never do it again. You know what? I'm gonna save him. I'm gonna get him out of there. Because I'd rather have three children than just two really well-behaved children. I'm sure you're right. Again, I'm sure you're right. He probably won't drown again. She's so much tougher than me. Sometimes I think she purposely tries to scare me. Like, she took me hiking, and as we were hiking on all the trees, there were signs that said, while you're hiking, you should clap. Does anybody know why you're supposed to clap bears. When you're hiking? That's exactly right, bears. Are there bears here? Do you guys have bears? Yes. Do you? So what? That guy clapped like he knows one. He's like, oh, yeah, I have a bear in my yard. I own a bear. It's like, wow, I have a whole circus. What type of bears do you guys got here? What do you got? Black bears mostly. Okay, because I don't know. I got to learn at some point the difference between, you know, there's a certain bear, when you see it, you're supposed to act all tall and scary. And then there's like another bear where if you see it, you're supposed to pretend you're dead. And I just always forget to Google it. Because wouldn't that be like so embarrassing if like you're up to a bear, you're like, oh my God, a bear. And you're like, ah! And the bear's like, wrong bear, dude. I'm going to kill you.
That's it. Make it a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.